You ready?
No, yes.
You sound ready, so here we go. Oh boy, it's Encyclopedia Brunch. My name is Tim Dobbs. Hey, with me, as ever, is Catherine Kogert.
Hey.
Hey.
It's good to be here.
It's so good to have you here. You like my new catchphrase?
Can I decline to comment?
I gotta tell you, I focus grouped this thing 4 months, and I think it's ready. We just whittled it down to just like the core of what I was trying to say. And I really think
proof
it gets across my message.
The power of focus groups.
Who can argue with hay?
Certainly not horses.
No, it's kind of their thing, really.
It is. Hay is for horses. That's what our annoying grandparents said to us.
My dad
they were so angry at the way we've decided to use language.
Yeah, and so angry at horses also.
Why are we, we've really like, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of just sort of
horse animosity,
negativity around around like barn life.
Yeah, were you raised in a barn?
Were you raised in a
barn? Closing the barn door after the horse got out?
Right.
Don't make that noise, you sound like a pig.
You eat like a pig?
And you smell like one, too. Happy birthday to you.
The sexualization of milkmaids.
Of milkmaids?
Why do milkmaids need to be sexy?
I don't know, because they're like maids, I guess. Or like maidens, you know what I mean?
Okay, but like, why focusing on the milk variety? Why not butter maids?
The unfortunate truth is much of our society's sort of inherited culture came from a time that was much more rural, much more agricultural, and much more regressive in terms of sexual politics. And we just have to deal with it that that is our inheritance. And so, yep, we think milkmaids are sexy and there's nothing to be done about it. Now, give me some milk.
Oh, let me just handle these udders first. What?
You're making me feel so weird. Don't talk like that.
You got it.
Hey, let us talk about something that was a part of our change from a largely rural society to a more urban, suburban, slightly denser living one. The shopping cart, our topic for this week.
Good transition.
Thank you. Okay. Picture a shopping cart. What's it like? Look like? Describe a shopping cart to me.
Metal. It has a lot of metal wiring. There's a little red handle. The wheels don't super work, and it keeps drifting to one side, that's annoying.
Yeah, what a hassle. It's like just like a big square box, right? Basically, right?
With legs.
Mm-hmm. This is essentially
wheels.
How the shopping cart was invented. A man named Sylvan Goldman, whose company still makes, is one of the largest makers of grocery carts. He was the owner of a grocery store called the Humpty Dumpty in Texas. And in 1937, he was trying to figure out a way that he could get his customers to move more groceries. Because he noticed that when people would go shopping, when the basket that they were carrying got full, they were like, well, I guess that's enough for today. And he was like, no, but we have like more stuff we want to sell you.
genius.
I mean, essentially, it was part of the rocky transition from, we talked about this in our dollar store episode, see our episode on dollar stores, that there was a time in the not too distant past when a clerk would like give you things you needed. So you'd go and you'd be like, oh, I need some flour. And he would like measure out how much flour you could get and then put that in a I don't know, what does flour come in? A bag? Like a weird paper bag with glue?
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, he'd put it in a container for you and then like, you know, you'd buy it. But that was very intensive. And in our dollar store episode, we learned that people saved, store owners saved overhead by making it self-serve. So you went and actually touched and picked up the things and then you brought it to the front. Grocery stores were going through a similar process. And was part of the rocky transition. It wasn't just like you could just order a ton of things and then, you know, have a boy carry it out for you. You had to all carry it all around and you'd get tired. And so he was experimenting. This Sylvan Goldman character was experimenting with different ways for people to, like, not have...
He had silver and gold in his name?
Well, Sylvan, but yes, it's pretty close.
Oh, close.
Yeah, close enough. Silver Goldman, the worst superhero.
Mr. Sparkles!
What, from the episode of The Simpsons?
Is that a Simpsons thing?
It's a thing. We'll put it in the show notes.
Everything is a Simpsons thing.
Yeah, it's true.
You can't get away from it.
I mean, listen, I was raised by The Simpsons, with apologies to my parents, but I think most of my worldview was cultivated by that show, so...
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Hashtag.
No, just not sorry. I'm not even sorry about it. So given this problem, Catherine, what do you have as ideas for helping... these people going shopping to carry more groceries?
Whole pack mules.
Let's throw some other things out there. Maybe
Wingardium Leviosa. I had a Harry Potter heavy week this week, so like that's gonna come through in this episode.
Fair. So your answers are
you know, my Patronus was a mole. How upsetting is that?
It's frustrating. I mean, the idea was like, you're into dark tunnels? I don't know. What does that say about you?
I don't know. It's either something gross or lame.
Well, speaking of lame, Sylvan Goldman's ideas before he got to the cart, which, you know, is where we're going here, was he considered having clerks just like notice when your basket was full and take it from you and then give you a new one? And just be like, oh, no, I got this. You just keep shopping.
Or, no, that's not going to work. Sometimes I like to just carry something around the store for a while and think about it.
Right. Well, I think all our grocery store habits are shaped a lot by where we eventually got to, because there were no clerks looking at us. Or the other very mechanical way he had to do it was not dissimilar to your pack mule idea, which was that he would set up the shelves such that you could kind of walk down either side and then just put things you needed into a little basket on a miniature railway that would follow you along through this, like, right?
Fun. It's like mining carts.
It's like mining carts, exactly. But there's no way to wander. You know, you can't just, like, stroll about the store. It's very mechanical. Like, it just follows you each step.
This kind of has come to fruition. Sort of. In the, you know, when you're at IKEA and then the thing when you're in the warehouse part and how you get one of the, like, the big box hauling things and how you take one and then the next one comes out on rails. There's, like, a little mechanical switch.
I don't know. No. What?
It's kind of fun when you take one of the big flat carts that you put your boxes on in the warehouse to wheel big boxes around. It's like a flatbed sort of.
Yeah,
like
yeah. And you might see it at a
Costco
or a Home Depot or a Lowe's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you take one of those in IKEA, there's like a little metal trigger that flips, and then the next one rolls out for the next person. They're like little rail tracks.
That's cool. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, so that was I guess that's just like a further evolution of the cart, where it's like just even more industrial, because we started way back when this guy literally eventually came to putting just a regular basket onto a chair and then attaching some wheels on the chair and being like, it's a cart. And he advertised it as part of their no basket carrying plan, which is a very on the nose name.
Oh, man, not great at naming things.
People, yeah.
Sylvan Goldman.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess his mother was presumably, or well, his parents. I don't know who named Sylvan Goldman. That wasn't in my research. But
Your name is Sylvan Goldman.
I was going to say he seems all right, but then later on in 1946, a man by the name of Oral Watson would invent the cart that has that little foldy thing in the back so that you can stack a bunch of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they got in a huge lawsuit about it, and it both seemed like they were pretty bitter. So I don't know. Maybe he's fine.
Complicated.
I know. There was a whole legal battle.
Ooh.
What a mess.
Shopping cart drama. Oh, yeah, on HBO.
All right, well, that's a new show I need to go watch and catch up with, and we will binge that and be right back in a moment on Encyclopedia Brunch. And we're back on Encyclopedia Brunch talking about shopping carts. Load this podcast in your cart and take it all the way to the front of the store. Catherine, shopping carts are terrible, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
we're agreed here.
Constantly broken, right?
Well, I don't know. That's not really my issue with them, but tell me more about that.
They always pull to one side, in my experience.
Mm.
And so you spend your entire time with your shopping cart, like, putting more pressure in one of your hands than the other to keep it straight.
Right. And then you're engaging your core, and that stinks.
Just like anything I can do to not engage my core.
Don't engage.
That's like my life mission.
Your core is just trying to troll you into interacting with the world. Don't engage. Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess that could be... Okay, so a shopping cart. I've got a... Let's see. Premier Carts pulled up here. And I'm looking at a medium wire shopping cart. This looks like very much like a kind of grocery store shopping cart I would have seen. And
if
it runs...
I wanted to buy a shopping cart...
Uh-huh.
Could I do that? First of all. Just one. It seems like it's the sort of thing you could only buy in bulk. Don't laugh at me.
Okay.
I might have a point.
Fair enough. Yes. Okay. On Premier Carts, you cannot buy one, but you can buy two for $152 each.
Wow. $75 a piece.
Mm-hmm. No, no, no. Oof. No. $152 each. So they are $150 a piece.
What is happening that these are so expensive?
I mean, the thing...
They cannot be that expensive to manufacture.
I disagree, actually. Like, think about a cart. So, like, okay, a good thought exercise here is, have you ever seen one of those, like, urban carts for, like, you know, urban grocery shopping where you're not bringing it out to your car, so you need to take the cart all the way home? You know what I mean? Little old ladies have them a lot.
What?
You've never seen this. Okay.
Like the double-deckers, or...
No. It's the kind where you bring it from home. You, like, buy it yourself. It's usually only got two wheels on it, and you kind of drag it behind you, and it's got, like...
Oh, yeah. I had one of these as a backpack once. I wasn't cool.
Well, they're not cool, but what are you going to do? You got to move stuff.
No. It was bright yellow and lime green.
And it was a backpack?
Yeah.
Well, I'm confused. Why was it...
And it was so heavy, too.
Was it for shopping?
No, it was for a backpack.
Oh, I see. It was just the backpack with the wheels and the draggy part.
Yeah, like the idea was like, oh, your textbooks are too heavy for your child. Get them this rolly backpack.
Yeah, that's super not cool. But you knew this. Yeah.
I mean, now
you.
I know this.
Now you know.
I didn't have a strong sense of what was cool and not cool.
How old were you during the time of the swivel yellow backpack?
Let's say I was 9.
Yeah. You know, it's a great time to not be self-aware.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, so they have these for just like grocery stores, and they typically are just sort of wire baskets, much like a shopping cart. Those just are, it's like a thinner wire. It doesn't hold nearly as much stuff. It only has two wheels. In all these ways, that is the sort of like personal size, like the one an individual could reasonably have. Whereas like, I think the... like traditional grocery store shopping cart is an industrial object, and we've just become so like inured to it, we see it so much that you don't think of it, but it's like, this is like a serious tool that one might see in like a warehouse or something. Like, it moves about as much stuff as like a big dolly.
Yeah, that's true, especially those flatbed ones. Those mm-hmm. ones feel so serious business.
Yeah, it's I think it's reasonable. What I'm trying to get here is, I think it's reasonable that they cost $150. Also, they last for like 10-ish years.
Okay, but that has nothing to do with like the cost it takes to make one.
I guess, well, you're right. I'm using industrial heavy dutiness as a proxy for
expensiveness.
You know, there's a lot that goes into it. You got to get all this wire, you have to weld it. And then yeah, I don't know, a bunch of wheels and stuff. I think it makes a little sense, and I would say even if you don't think it costs that much to make it, if the market will pay for it because it's useful enough over 10 years, that's how economics works.
I suppose.
Well, I'm glad that I've argued successfully for you to buy this cart. Now, please purchase some carts for us.
No!
So you're already in it now. If it will help you to feel better if I tell you that you could use... Here's another buzz marketing I don't mind doing. Because I found this little white paper by Jimco Maintenance, the shopping cart maintenance people. shopping cart preventative maintenance. Important things to consider. And you can really extend the life of your shopping cart if you bring in their services. And it only costs 75 cents to $1.20 per cart. They pressure wash
it. Wow, that's just like, that's a fraction of the cost of the cart.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And that's the exact argument Jimco makes. And they pressure wash it to get rid of bacteria because a lot of bacteria builds up on those carts.
Lo, these past 4 years, we've been secretly working for Jimco.
Yeah. It's a lot of like touching and stuff. And then food gets on there, and there's probably like little bits of food on it too.
Oh, and gross kids being gross.
Yeah, seriously.
God knows what on your carts. And the shopping cart races. That can't be covered in the warranty.
Wait, tell me more about the shopping cart races.
What are shopping cart races? You have races or like jousts with shopping carts.
Like in the store?
Like down a hill.
Okay. Have you ever done this? Or have you just been walking Jackass?
I think I've just been watching Jackass.
Did you know that losing carts is a big deal? Happens all the time, and they cost a lot of money.
Losing in quotes.
because it's the world's gain, is what you're saying? Or at least it's Steve-O's gain?
No, because I think people are stealing them. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I mean, too. And
you put it in such positive terms, I didn't know what you meant.
I guess, well, because
the world's gain, theft.
Well, I don't know. You seem so pro shopping cart races and jousts.
Are you not?
I mean, I don't know. I guess no. I find it very unnerving to be honest with you. Like my gut feeling is like, no, don't ride in that shopping cart. You're just gonna fall. It's gonna hurt.
Okay, yeah, but I don't know. I just feel like I'm glad it's out there. I'm glad there's people out there doing it, even if it's not me. And I don't want it to be me because, as we all know, I'm a bit of a... I'm risk averse.
Mm-hmm. So why are you glad there are people out there doing it? Like, what feels good about that?
I feel like it makes the world a more colorful place.
Hmm. Do you think it's specific to the fact that it's a shopping cart? Because there are other wheeled things to do this on.
Yeah, no, I think the fact that it is something that's out of place, right? Mm-hmm. It's a repurposing of an otherwise mundane daily item is fun.
Right.
That's part of the allure.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. I'm with you there. That I do like the idea that, like, because as I was trying to argue earlier, that, like, this is, like, a serious piece of equipment, but we all kind of think of it in terms of just, like, a mundane, everyday object because it's, like, so specific to the grocery store, which is a very, like, everyday kind of thing. Like, there were a few things less threatening than being in a grocery store.
Grocery stores.
Very soothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay, so yeah, I guess I agree with you there. I like the idea that people are taking this equipment and using it like equipment. Like, but I don't know. I'm a little boy up in the little child area with my seatbelt on. Like, let's play it safe.
Are you in the little boy shopping cart where you have a car? Like your mom is driving the cart, but you're in the car in front of the cart.
I find
fake driving the car
also unnerving. I think I just really don't like shopping carts, I think. I admire them, but I just like, because...
You're an admirer of the shopping cart, yeah. Sure.
It does
not
its own
a user.
Thing. Well, like, so the little cart and the little car in front of the thing, they didn't have those at the grocery stores I was at when I was a kid. So I've never used one. But the idea itself seems to me like I would feel very low to the ground. And also I've got like that thing above me. So I can't like, you know, the roof of the little car above me. And so I can't really see out there. And so I would only be seeing the stuff at like the bottom shelf. And I really want to have the whole like shelf experience, which is okay, what was nice about riding up top.
Would you do you like the mini shopping cart, the shopper in training carts?
I don't know. Like, I shouldn't, because, you know, as my official stance is that we should not be teaching capitalism to children so young.
I am uncomfortable with the little flag that says shopper in training.
Yeah.
But the little carts are adorable.
It's kind of cute. I don't know. This is where it gets us. It's like, well, can't beat those aesthetics. Well, and I would also argue that this is why we have to have shoppers in training, is because it's an industrial piece of equipment, Catherine.
Right.
Yeah. You have to go through a long apprenticeship to use the cart.
You have to get certified.
Do you find it hard to use a shopping cart, like to maneuver around? I do.
The full size ones, yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I like the little double decker ones. I think that's my favorite shopping experience. Mm.
That's what the original shopping cart looked like.
Good.
Yeah, it was just a version of the wooden chair with a basket on it, and it just had two instead. But yeah, I like that a lot. I don't like having out so much space in front of me and then also needing so much room to maneuver. I like kind of being nimble. I want to change my mind real quick. Maybe I want this popcorn. Ah, maybe I want olive oil instead.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And just with the full size, I feel like I'm constantly in somebody else's way.
Yes, and it's very hard to avoid that. And they're hard.
I feel like I'm mostly in someone else's way, like without a shopping cart entirely. So
in the grocery store or in general?
In general, but especially the grocery store.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, that is one of the issues with the grocery store, is that, like, you know, they're trying to they're maximizing their floor space. So there's not a lot of room for me to, like, step into some alcove somewhere and, like, double check my shopping list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is why they've started making shopping carts that have little phone holders so you can, like, you know, look at it as you go. Feels like a bit much to me.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. I'm not going to die on this hill. Have your phone holders. What do you think about the cup holders? Is that also too much? Or I think I'm at the same place with those.
I like have come to terms with the selfie stick, so I don't know. I don't love any of my opinions anymore. What are yours?
Well, I love your opinions. They're great. I'll love yours. You love mine. And that way neither of us have to take responsibility.
Oh, thank God.
Fantastic.
Finally, an out.
Well, let's get out and be back in a moment on Encyclopedia Brunch. And we're back on Encyclopedia Brunch talking about shopping carts.
Maybe you can drive my cart.
Yeah.
I know that you can be a start.
Okay, go on.
I don't know if I remember the next line.
Baby, you can drive my cart. And baby, I love food.
You know that I love juice.
Well, we were on similar lines there.
There it is.
Anyway, shop, yeah. And one way you can keep shopping is with our extension of the concept that Sylvan Goldman came up with many years ago to how to move more groceries. And the answer is a lot less disruptive and creative as it was in his time. The answer now is let's make bigger carts. So if I'm looking here at the Premier Carts website again, I can buy anything from the model 5141, which is it's like a basket just with long legs and wheels. And then there's the 5141D, which has two, which is a lot like what you've been talking about. And then we turn into real carts, and there's like a small retail, and then slightly bigger and slightly bigger, and then suddenly it's Costco size. And then it really gets out of hand really fast.
Okay, in Costco.
Yeah, when you have room to maneuver.
Yeah.
I still don't like it, though. So I found this quote when they were trying to popularize the shopping cart. And Sylvan Goldman says, I went into our largest store. There wasn't a soul using a basket carrier, which is what he called a cart. Most of the housewives decided, no more carts for me. I've been pushing enough baby carriages. I don't want to push anymore. And the men said, you mean with my big strong arms, I can't carry a darn little basket like that? And he wouldn't touch it. It was a complete flop.
Aww.
Yeah. And I feel like, weirdly, I don't identify with the, oh, my big strong arms. I really identify more with like, ah, I've been pushing enough baby carriages. Something about it feels very like just not cool, like sitting behind the cart going do 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 do. And the bigger the cart, the more doofusy I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I like, I feel nothing makes me feel ditzier than pushing a cart in heels.
Oh, yeah. Very Stepford Wives.
I just feel like, oh, if I am. I am as shallow as they come when I'm wearing heels and pushing a cart.
I mean, it's not shallow. You just got to go shopping.
No, there's no reason why I should feel this way. It's just.
Well, it's the cart. It's so iconic because it was mm-hmm. part of that, like, shift towards, you know, suburbia and self-serve and finding ways to, like, sort of extend the middle class in ways that, like, you know, you can have it all, but you kind of have to have it in this slightly mitigated way where it's like you're not being waited on. You're sort of doing it yourself, but like, you know, in a fancy yeah. store. And we still make
with
you feel important.
DSW heels and cart.
Uh-huh. There it is. You're living the dream.
Discount shoe warehouse.
Yeah, exactly. It's not fancy, but they are nice. Extend that middle class.
They're very practical heels and carts. A way to carry groceries.
Yeah, it's very practical. It's true. I was thinking that reading about this, I was like, you know, carts are just part of the great spectrum of the often surprising to me question that we are always trying to solve is, how do I move this? That's like a big part of humanity's struggle, right? It's just like, this is a lot to move.
No? I mean, one of the greatest early innovations of mankind was the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
How do I move this? And Jesus, I am cold. Are you cold?
That was also important. And then, yeah, how do I heat this up? I think those are the two big, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we're just thinking too much like engineers because we're like, well, heat and work are the two forms of energy. Wheel and fire. All the way through wheels, eventual lineage into shopping cart.
Wheels within wheels, man.
Yeah. But the way that they, the reason that they're making the carts bigger and making me feel doofusier, is that they find people buy more because they're just like, eh, I got more space in here. I guess it's the same idea as like you'll eat
have
more if your plate's bigger.
Have you ever had that experience though? Like, have you ever, like, had a cart and been like, well, I guess I have more space. I guess I'm going to buy more. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. But also, like, I recognize that I'm, like, maybe not the most regular shopper. But I, so the experience.
Yeah, you are a super weirdo.
Yep, thank you. Thank you for finally recognizing.
Here's your certification.
Oh, I don't need a certification. Just write it on a piece of pizza and then I'll leave it to rot in the corner. That's how super weirdos do it. But so what has happened to me though is that like, so I typically shop with a basket because I shop roughly once a week for a single person. That's about a basket full, I find. Every once in a while you'd be able to buy like a bunch of rice or something, but I've been in times where I've just been like, oh, yeah, maybe I should get, you know, I don't know. Oh, let's staying on my I eat weird things. Kimchi. I love kimchi. And I'll be like, maybe I should get a bottle of kimchi or a jar of kimchi. But my basket's like pretty full and I don't have a car. And so like I got to bike this back. And there's the really embarrassing part of like being like, so do you need a bag today? And I'm like, oh, no, I think I got it in the backpacks and like my bags that I brought. And then it doesn't quite fit. And you're just like, no, I must pay 10 cents and be a pariah.
It is humiliating.
It is humiliating because it's also just like, and you estimated wrong.
Yeah. I mean, but you've mentioned at least two other barriers to like buying more stuff. The bag thing, which is a relatively new last 5 years situation that we found ourselves in. And the biking stuff home, which is not your suburban middle class experience.
Right. It is very different. But I can identify with at least going back to like 1937 and the invention of the cart, where like if your basket's pretty full and you're like, eh, this is probably enough. Or, like, if something's going to tip out, it's like, you know what, I don't really need that kimchi. I need the kimchi, though.
I think you picked the wrong example here.
I know. It's actually, the problem was my basket was already full of kimchi and nothing else. And it's like, do I want the 20th jar of kimchi? Well, maybe not.
Oh, man! I found some kimchi guacamole this week.
Sounds weird. Was it good?
It was not.
Oh, well, at least my ideas about food are still correct. Still correct as always. Give me a cooking
show. Tim Bob story.
So I don't know. I can see having overfilled the cart. And especially so if I was shopping for a family of four and perhaps, you know, something at like a Costco or something where like I'm really stocking up, I could see like filling a large cart and like having an even bigger cart would make me be like, yeah, I'll get another thing. Does that, like, you don't think any of that rings true for you?
You know, I think, I feel like I go for the impulse buys first and then I go to the staple.
Well, you're so impulsive. I mean, that's fair.
I think my impulse buys are what are getting me in the door in the first place, grocery store wise. And I'm right. Like, oh, I'm here. I guess I should pick up some milk anyway while I'm here.
Okay, so I wanted to, I got two things I want to talk to you about before we go. they're so important to me for some reason. So I want to talk. I've started doing, and it's like not better, but it makes me feel better. Instead of pushing the cart because I feel like a lame-o, I pull the cart. I stand behind it. I feel like it's more maneuverable.
No, don't do that.
You don't think
no,
so?
You have no control. No,
you do have control.
No, you have no. You're losing control, Tim.
Mm-mm.
This is an intervention.
No. Listen, take the lesson from Too Shop, Too Furious, Angry Shopping. Too Shop, Too Hungry. Too Shop, Too Hangry. You have to lose control to gain control, Catherine.
No. This is no. You're not going to Tokyo Drift this cart.
Yeah, actually, never do that. You're right. I don't know, though, because the rear wheels don't actually steer. I don't know. You don't lose a lot of control. If it was a four wheeler that all four wheels swiveled, it'd be a different story. Incidentally, very common in Europe. I think they have smaller aisles. Okay, so you just do the push and you vehemently disagree with my pull strategy.
Pulling the cart behind you. Maybe if you're going within the same aisle, I might do that.
Like, yeah.
Okay, so I've got my marinara sauce and I'm going to come down here, pick up some pickles. It's all in the same aisle.
Right.
Just pull it down for a little bit. And then when I'm ready to leave this aisle and I'm going to need to turn, then I'm going to get behind the cart with my DSW heels and go click, 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 and feel like an asshole.
Fair. I guess, well, okay. Point taken. I don't need to sketch this out anymore. The other thing that I really want to talk to you about is, did you ever ride in the kid's seat when you were a kid?
Heck yeah. I don't know if I super remember it, but I'm pretty sure I did.
I think, I can't remember. I feel like for a while it was like, I'm sitting on a throne. And then eventually it became like, I'm stuck up here. This cart is a prison. Like, it's already got all the metal bars.
I know why the caged bird sings.
He sings because he wants to try to get that sugary cereal from the shelf and he can't.
Look at that rabbit.
So fun. Oh boy, I don't know. Do you think we should get rid of carts?
No, I think I've been in the pro cart camp mostly.
I feel like you agreed mostly. Pretty thoroughly that they suck.
Oh, yeah, they do, but like, it's a good way to move stuff.
Yeah, it's a good way to move stuff. I think I've always just had trouble with the idea that the world is not just a series of ideas that you can manipulate in your head. Like, it's physical things and you need tools for that. And I find that frustrating.
It sounds like what you find frustrating is that there's other people that you need to coordinate with.
No, not necessarily. I mean, yeah, the steering thing, sure, that's frustrating. But like, we can delve into that some other time. But I don't think that's this issue for me.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just saying, it seems like what's frustrating to you is that you have to okay your ideas with other people to get them to pass.
I'm a little frustrated you didn't really like my great new cart disruption, but you know, what can I do?
You have to. I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to give it a pass here on Dragon's Den.
Fair enough. Well, now that Dragon's Den and Encyclopedia Brunch are simultaneously coming to an end, we'll see you next week.
Crossover episode.
Until then, and that's Catherine Cogart over there.
Tim Dobbs over here.
Bye.
Bye.